Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning a fascinating Mizmor, Mizmor Nun Aleph, the 51st of the Psalms in Tehillim. This is a very famous Mizmor and it is all about Teshuvah, about return to Hashem. It is a very personal experience that David HaMelech is expressing to us. And we're able to get onto the train that he gets onto as he goes through his journey and we try to make our journeys in the same way. So let's just take a look at it from an overview and structure point first. It is made up of 21 psukim and three general sections. The first two psukim are the kotevet, the inscription, really our heading, which is Lamnatzach Mizmor David, that's the first pasuk, and Bevo Elov Nasan HaNavi Kasher Bo El Bas Shava. So he describes this is said when Natan HaNavi, the prophet Natan, comes to David HaMelech after his experience with Bat Sheva. That gives us context, we'll get back to that in a few minutes. In terms of that three main sections, the first section is Gimel to Zion, 3 to 7, in which he describes his confession for his sin and begging for mercy. He says the sin is in front of him. Then he moves on to say he requests atonement and renewal of his heart. That's from Ches to Yudalad. And finally, Tesvov to Yutes, 15 to 19, is where he promises to learn the ways of Hashem and tell and teach his praises to the rest of the world. And concluding with two very interesting psukim about Yerushalayim in psukim Yutes to Chafaleth. In terms of themes, there are some very fascinating themes which move through this Mizmor. The most central theme is that of tshuva, of a person returning to the path they left. And we have many psukim that reflect this in this Mizmor. As an example, pasuk hey, for the fifth pasuk is, ki v'sho'ai ani eda v'chatosi negdi samed. I recognize my transgressions and my sins are ever in front of my consciousness. It's interesting, there's a halachic debate as to whether a person should be mentioning on Yom Kippur sins of previous years that they are not engaged in anymore. And this debate revolves around this pasuk. What does it mean, chatasi negdi samir, that my sins are in front of me always? How much does one live with one's past is part of this discussion. Another theme in this Mizmor, which relates to this, is pain. David HaMelech describes the immense pain that he suffers because of his sin, and he actually feels optimistic because of that pain, because as we know, pain is a very fascinating thing. Pain is a notification that the body sends. The synapses shoot and express pain to the brain. When a person is in discomfort or stress, when they're out of their norm, and it's usually a warning system for a person to be able to correct. And similarly over here, David HaMelech describes his pain as an opportunity to be able to come closer. And the opportunity that Hashem put in him is the emotional pain to be able to actually turn around. Examples are like in Pasuk Yod as an example, Tashmi'eni sosoin v'simcha, togelna atzomaz dikir, so let me hear good tidings of joy and gladness, that the bones that you've crushed exult. So he's describing being in a situation of crushed bones, he feels so the pain and the gravity of the experience, v'liz Hashem alami out of it. There's also another theme is his promise. He promises that if he gets out of the suffering that he is in because of his sin, he will ultimately thank Hashem and praise Hashem. So he say, so as an example, Pasuk Tezvov, Alamdo Poshim Derochecho V'chata Imen Lecho Yoshuv, I'll teach transgressors your ways and the sinners may return to you. Meaning to say, I will be an example, I'll be an ambassador for you, O God. If you allow me to succeed through this, I will show people that it's possible to come back. And perhaps this Mizmor itself is an example of that promise. There is the theme of internal versus external. So at the end he talks about how really Zevach Elokim Ruach Nishbar Alev Nishbar V'nidke Elokim Lo Yisiv Zeh, the real sacrifice of Hashem is a broken spirit, not a sacrifice. Which means to say that he's recognizing that simply symbolic or ritual acts of teshuva are very much worthless in Hashem's eyes. It really matters what a person's actually doing. Finally, the last two psukim are a little bit of an anomaly. We'll come back to it at the end. But it is interesting that he asks in a pasuk we say, as you bring out the Torah every Shabbos, Hey Tiva Virtzonucha es Tzion, Tivnecha Mos Yerushalayim, please let Zion prosper and rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. Like, what does that have to do with the Mizmor? It seems much more global, much more national, much less to do with David HaMelech's particular plight or his teshuva process. So what is going on over here? The Ibn Ezra says that, in fact, he quotes a chacham, mechachmei Svarad, he quotes a Spanish wise sage who says these were added later on by a person in Bavel, meaning to say a later person who went through exile added these on at the end of the Mizmor, almost in a certain sense, you know, giving it another dimension, letting their prayers be more sophisticated by being attached to David HaMelech's Mizmor about his own personal situation. That doesn't have to be necessarily the case. It could just be that David Melech is now globalizing his teshuva as well. This is important because in this request, it sounds like it's asking for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim is already built in the times of David Melech. So some of the Mefarshim say, no, this is David Melech prophesizing into the future and saying there's going to come a time where all of Israel, not just the unit of the king, will have sinned and suffer. It'll be the whole of Israel will suffer because of their sins, and therefore he's now expanding his consciousness to be able to allow them to see that if he could come back, they ultimately could come back as well. So not needing to say it was a later person, it could be David HaMelech himself through Nevuah allowing other people in. In terms of events behind this Mizmor, it seems pretty explicit that this is in the wake of the sin of Bathsheba, where David HaMelech had a relationship with Bathsheba. That's how the Kotevet, the second Pasuk, seems to indicate it. What is interesting is just to appreciate the mechanics of this. David HaMelech was, when he was more retiring from his wars, he noticed a woman on the rooftop, and he called her in, had a relationship with her. Her name was Bathsheba. She was apparently married, even though semi-divorced at this point in time from her husband Uriah. Uriah is someone from the battlefront. Because she is found pregnant, and David HaMelech, in a certain sense, is looking to cover up the pregnancy at this point in time. It seems like Uriah refuses to, Uriah does not listen to David HaMelech. David HaMelech sends him as a rebel to the front, the battlefront. He's left at the battlefront and ultimately dies. He actually dies in real combat, so the plan didn't even need to actually happen because Uriah died in actual conflict. Be it as it may, what happens is immediately afterwards, Natan HaNavi, who's now the successor to Shmuel HaNavi, comes to David HaMelech and says, David, you know, what would happen if you had a court case you need to adjudicate? You have two people that are neighbors. One is very extremely poor. One is very rich. The one who is very poor has only one item or one thing in his life which is important to him, is this little lamb. He sleeps with it. It provides him sustenance. It provides him comfort. It provides him company. And a guest comes to the rich man, and the rich man shechts this lamb of the poor person instead of taking his own. What would you say? David HaMelech immediately declares death upon that the rich man, and Natan HaNavi flips it around and says, David, you are the man, Atah Ish, and David HaMelech immediately says, Chatasi. So putting this into context, the Radak says that this Mizmor is what David HaMelech utters as Natan leaves. So after David HaMelech publicly admits his guilt, then as he leaves, this is what David HaMelech expresses in his terrible, terrible grief of the sin that he committed. However, it could be something other Mefarshim suggest that this may not have been the soliloquy said afterwards, but it could actually be the elaborate admission that he says to Natan himself. So this could be the words David HaMelech used or afterwards amended when he said this to Natan. In terms of the places this appears in our Siddur, this actually does appear, the Sfaradim points out, the Sfaradim have a Nusach that it appears in the Psukah de Zimra. It's one of the 10 added Mizmorim in the Psukah de Zimra of Yom Kippur. It is also in the Slichos for the Sfaradim around the time of the Yom Tovim. Some of the practices say out in Parshas Parah because of the cleansing process that the Parah Adumah brings. And of course, numerous Psukim appear elsewhere. Pasuk Yud Gimel appears in Slichos, Pasuk Yud Zayin appears at the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Very, very famous Mizmor, clearly on the topic of Tshuva and introspection. Let us focus on two brief Psukim. Number one is Pasuk Vav, which is L'cho levadcho chatasi v'hara b'einecho asisi. To you alone, O God, I have sinned, and the bad I did in your eyes. Wait a second, David HaMelech, let's clarify that for a moment, yeah. To you alone, Hashem, he sinned? Is that really true? Really? David HaMelech, you said there was Bathsheba, there was Uriah. What about the rest of the folks over there? How can he say that? How can he talk about this as a sin only to Hashem? So the Radak points out that he's only talking about right now the public sins. The public sins were already known, but very few people knew what was really going on. So David HaMelech is now asking that he can clear this up with Hashem himself. Of course, he's going to speak to the people themselves, but he wants to deal with this in a more private manner, which doesn't actually end up happening. It could also be, as the Radak says, is that really, if you think about this, is that the main person who is sinned towards is Uriah. Uriah is dead. Uriah is no longer able to be apologized to. The remaining party is, of course, Bathsheba, but the Radak seems to suggest in this case that Bathsheba was complicit in this relationship, and that means to say that, therefore, the two of them are on the same page. Uriah was not on the same page. Uriah is dead. What is left now is the terrible catastrophe which is created with Hashem because of the way David acted. It could be that, as Rav Sadia Gaon says, that David HaMelech is just simply focusing on what's called the Ben Adon HaMakom. He's not ignoring the Ben Adon HaChaver, the social crime, but he's focusing on his relationship with Hashem. The Malbim does add over here, as he does in Sefer Shmuel, that technically David HaMelech did not really commit adultery in the sense that Uriah had already divorced his wife as he went to war, and that's what he's emphasizing over here, all at the same time as he says that, he is clearly suffering from this. And it should be just pointed out for those people who think that David HaMelech got out on a whim, it is not true at all. He lost the son he had from Bathsheba, his other son as a punishment. Amnon raped Tamar. The brother of Tamar, Avshalom, kills Amnon. The rebellion is staged by Avshalom against himself. Then he has later on Adonia, Esheba ben Bichri. He has a very tortured rest of his life, David HaMelech. He suffered terribly for this. There's no way no one can ever say David HaMelech got away with this. But what this means says the focus over here is the dimension when it relates to Hashem. The last pasuk, this is a famous pasuk, it appears in many songs, so it's worthwhile actually understanding what it means, and that is pasuk Yud Beis. Lev tohar bara li Elokim v'roch nachon chadesh bekirbi. And what's fascinating is that most people make the mistake of translating this as, Hashem, you created me with this pure spirit and soul, and like, I'm so deep down, I'm really great. Well, that's not exactly what the words mean. The word bara doesn't mean, it's not with a kamat. It's not lev tohar bara li Elokim. It's not that Hashem created me with a pure spirit. It is bira, please create for me, which means to say, as the Ibn Ezra explains, is that Hashem, by acting the way I did, by indulging myself in whatever it is, whatever the person makes a choice to in life to indulge in that they shouldn't be, whether it be physical or an emotional asset that they want, that actually tarnishes a person. That tarnishes a person's soul. Then what David HaMelech is saying is Lev Tahar Biral Elokim, Hashem, please allow me to reconstitute, allow me to have a new soul to replace the one which I've muddied, destroyed, broken. The way the Malbim says it over here is that there is intellectual and physical rectification which are being requested over here. There's the Lev Tahar and the Ruach Nachon. That means to say the heart and the intellect, both which I have tarnished through my actions. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to renew. This is a request, not a description. And that's actually a mission statement for us in life. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.